Well, Exodus chapter 6. You're concerned. I was looking at that keychain. I was remembering somewhere somebody told me that a church begins to take on the personality of its pastor. And I was beginning to doubt it, and then I saw that keychain. Well, we'll talk to you about names this morning, and not the ones that you call each other, but names in the Bible. And it's kind of a light thing that we're going to look at, but we'll look at names in the Bible. We're going to look at names in three places. We have names in heaven, and names in the earth, and names in the new earth. And we'll look at some things there. We're going to start by looking at Exodus chapter 6. And it says this, of course, Moses is discussing his ministry with the Lord, and actually he's trying to get out of it. The amazing thing, you know, 40 years earlier, this guy was ready to take on the world, at least the whole Egyptian army. And today he doesn't even think he's qualified and doesn't think he should do it. But it says this, "Then the Lord said unto Moses," verse 1, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." So let's just bow our heads, and we'll talk to the Lord God. Father, I thank you now, God, for your goodness and your grace, and I ask now, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, and I ask, God, that you would touch the hearts of these people. And Lord, help us to learn something out of your book. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. All right, now I'm going to names in heaven. There's only four given in the Bible. And of course, the first one we're looking at is Jehovah. All right, Jehovah means God Almighty, and that's self-descriptive. If you don't like that name, make him change.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the heavyweight champion of the world saying, "I'm the heavyweight champion of the world." There's nobody tougher than me. And some guy gets in the ring with him. He got 12 rounds to prove the guy wrong. All right, and Jehovah means God Almighty, and that is the name of God. That is God's name in heaven. And that's all I can say. Now, that does not mean that we have to go around calling ourselves Jehovah's Witnesses. All right? I think they're more like Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
That is one name that is given in heaven. Now, another name that you'll find given in heaven is this one, Michael. That is amazing. I'm sure it's because your pastor's name is Michael, but that is an amazing name. That means like unto God. That is the closest a name comes to talking about the person that is named rather than about God. In other words, Michael is so much like God that his name means like unto God. Amen. Yeah. I won't. But now, there's a couple of things about Michael. First off, Michael is the fighter. He is. Whenever God has got somebody that he wants snuffed, he sends out Michael. Whenever there is some kind of a battle, he sends out Michael. Whenever you find Michael appearing in Scripture, there is somebody that has got to be strong armed. I'll give you an example. Look with me, if you will, Daniel chapter 10. And in Daniel chapter 10, it says this, verse 12. Then said he unto me, and I'll tell you that is in a minute, "Fear not, Daniel, For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. All right, so it is Michael that freed up the messenger of the Lord in this case. And that is Michael's job. Whenever there's going to be a battle, Michael goes out and does that work. Look with me to Jude chapter 1. When the Lord went back and wanted to retrieve the body of Moses, he does not send Gabriel. He doesn't send anybody else. He sends the one guy who is like unto God. And it says this in verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, and that is where it's mentioned that he is an archangel, he is over one-third of the angels of heaven. As far as I can tell, the angels of heaven have been split into three groups, with Michael over one-third, Gabriel over one-third, and Lucifer over another third. And that is why every time you see Lucifer show up, a third of the angels are with him. And we'll explain some things about that. But it says here, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So the Lord sends Michael to do that work. I don't know how many angels there are in heaven. There may be 30 legions. What did Jesus say? I can send for 10 legions of angels, 12 on the cross. 12, I think. All right, so that'd be 36. There may be only 36 legions of angels. I don't know. But Michael, this guy, if you want to know the kind of power this guy's got, if he goes out and does a job in one night, he's probably capable of killing 186,000 men in one night. Now, you multiply that by 12 legions, and you had enough people to wipe out the known world. Look with me. He's going to be at our rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and Daniel chapter 12. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So you see that Michael is going to be there because someone has to be overcome. You say, who has to be overcome? 1 Corinthians 15 tells you who has to be overcome. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So there is going to be some kind of a contention over our bodies. There's going to be some kind of a dispute over property rights. And Michael is there in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble which was never, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So, Michael is there. Just figure it this way. Whenever there is a battle, whenever there is contention, whenever there is a dispute of any kind, Michael is going to be the one that is there. He may not be named. But you can tell by the job description. It's kind of like I had Sunday dinner with a SEAL, with a Navy SEAL. And you wouldn't believe this guy. He's from California. He was about this tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, and never quit smiling. And I said, I imagine you guys just train and hope nothing ever happens. You know, no war ever starts. He says, oh, no. No, he said, in fact, I won't be at the meeting this week because he said, I leave Tuesday. I said, where are you going? I knew what I was going to get. He said, well, that's classic. He said, we're out all the time. And so what I'm saying is that he says a lot of things that seem like accidents aren't. Well, they can't leave a sign, you know, that said the seals were here, but you know by what happened that they were there, all right? Michael is not always mentioned by name, but you can tell by his acts. He is the one that goes and does some fighting. Look with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 12. And in Revelation chapter 12, not only do we see that there's going to be a battle, but we see the greatest verse in the Bible for the strength and the testimony and the confidence of God. In Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels. So there again, you see, you got a war in heaven. You don't have to find Gabriel there. You're going to find Michael there. And I want to say that the Bible says that Lucifer is a light bearer. Michael is like unto God. And you get guys that one man can kill 186,000. Brother, they don't have light that's going to knock that guy out. All right? That may be why there's such a preoccupation with lasers. Yeah. I mean, that's just what it is, you know. But the amazing thing about this verse in showing you the confidence of God. You know, anybody that's been in the military or anybody that knows anything about fighting, you want to take away every advantage that the opposition has. I mean, if you got to hit them from behind, you do it. A preemptive strike that grounds all their aircraft, you do it. When God threw the devil out of heaven, if he was in charge of one-third of the angels, do you realize the easiest thing for God to do would have been revoke the angels so that he didn't have to fight them later? And yet God has so much confidence in his ability to win, he said, go and take them with you. Go and take them. Yeah, we'll meet you. We're going to clean your plow. It's all right. I mean, tell them to work out, man. Tell them to do all the push-ups and sit-ups and practice all they want, man. Because when we meet you, my guy's going to meet it head-to-head, one-on-one, and we're going to level you. And what you see is God doesn't even have to weaken the devil's strength, the devil's army. He'll still win. He'll still win. All right, the next guy that we take a look at is Gabriel. Now, there's something significant about his name. And when you look at his name, you understand his job. Gabriel is the talker. Gabriel is the guy that whenever God has some message to be sent or someone has to understand something, God sends Gabriel. Look at his name. God is mighty. That's a statement. That statement points to someone else. Michael's name points to himself, like unto God. Gabriel's name is a statement, and it always points to the Lord. There's no action about that. The fact that Gabriel is the talker is evident in our slang. What do you say if somebody talks a lot? Say they're always gabbing. Where do you think that came from? So I don't think it came from that. Good, tell me where it did come from. You say, oh boy, he's kind of gabby, isn't he? That's where you get it from. You get it from Gabriel. It's an abbreviation of Gabriel. That you want to see that Gabriel is the talker. Look at Daniel chapter 8. You will always find Gabriel when a message must be delivered, when somebody has to understand something. Daniel chapter 8, let's look at verse 15. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. All right? Gabriel's job is to talk. That's his job. But wouldn't you ladies like that? Anyway, that is Gabriel's job. His job is to talk. Michael's job is to break your face. That's just how it works, all right? And so Gabriel does the talking. Look at Daniel chapter 9. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed, there it is, see, he's talking. He informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Gabriel's job is talking. He is the mouthpiece. He's the representative. And again, you will not find Gabriel always mentioned in prayer, in the Bible by name. You'll not always find him mentioned by name, but you may pick him up by his job. You'll know what he did. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, Zacharias is in the temple, and somebody's got to tell Zacharias that his wife is going to have a baby. Well, there's only one guy to send. You don't send Michael. Michael pick him up and say, I want to tell you something. You know, look, punk. Verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. See his job? His job's always talking. That's why you have him, he's always associated with a trumpet. That's why over there in 1 Thessalonians you had the voice of the archangel, that's Michael, and the trump of God, that's Gabriel. They're both going to be there. Look at Luke chapter 1 and look at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. All right, there's Gabriel. If you want to see what his angels do, look at Luke chapter 2. At the birth of Jesus Christ, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, well, guess who this is? This ain't Michael. Michael would have come back to heaven and said, okay, God, I killed all the shepherds for you. The Lord said, Mike, I didn't send you to, I wanted you to talk to you. Oh, man, you always sent me to kill them. I killed them all. I killed the sheep. I killed the shepherds. I mean, I wiped out the town. I got them all. That's Michael. This is Gabriel. Look at verse, if you'll see what his angels do, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, this is Gabriel's third. Now, stop and think about it. If Michael has 12 legions, you imagine what heaven looked like? I'm telling you what, brother. I mean, those shepherds got something that the wise men didn't get. Could you imagine heaven being loaded with 12 legions, 12,000 angels standing there just saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And so when Gabriel shows up, he has a job to do. His job is talking. If you look at Luke chapter 24, and I got a feeling I know who those two guys are. Verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain other with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. You'll bet you can figure out who those two guys are. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And I've always envisioned this. I've always envisioned these men showing up and seeing these two guys, and I've always envisioned Gabriel coming up and telling them
still, why do you seek to live? And in the background is Michael.
Like this. Like a Secret Service man at a press conference. It's like this with his hand on his sword and check. So he's got all these, he already knocked out all the Roman soldiers. You know,
he says, I thought I saw one plane.
Those guys wouldn't want to move a thing. I mean it. I've always just thought of Mike, because, hey, somebody had to come back for the body. That's Michael's job. Somebody had to tell about it. That's Gabriel's job. So God sent his, hey, listen, brother, something went on.
Yeah.
Something went on, because I want you, I believe all three of them showed up.
Yeah.
I believe one showed up to stop the resurrection, one showed up to see to it that the stone got rolled away, and one showed up just to say, yeah, man, I like this. All I got to do is watch and tell who wins. So it's all right. Hey, how about you and him fighting? I'll hold the ropes.
Yeah.
All right, so that is Gabriel's job. The fourth thing that we have in heaven is, of course, Lucifer. His name means light bearer. Again, you'll notice his name is nothing more than a job description. You'd appreciate that. But his name is a job description. He was, of course, called the cherub that covereth. And look over to Isaiah chapter 14. And you may as well, when you get Isaiah 14, get Ezekiel 28. Lucifer, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? All right, then Lucifer, his job, well, he was the cherub that covers, he was above the throne, he was like a mirror, he just reflected the glory of God. The problem is, you know, I mean, if the moon had a personality, it would have nothing to be proud of. Now everybody looks out and says, you ever see a full moon? It's beautiful, isn't it? But it ain't the moon's light.
Yeah.
And when they landed somebody up there, man, it wasn't. If it had been cheese, we could have eaten it. But it's nothing but a dust ball. And you know what you women think of dust. All right? I mean, there's no pride in the moon. The pride is in the sun. The pride is in the sun that brings the heat and brings the light and brings life and the ultraviolet rays and infrared rays and everything else that we need. It all comes from sunlight. But if the moon had a personality, it might get proud on a night when everybody looked up and said, isn't it a beautiful moon? Movement? He said, wait a minute, pal. You're only reflecting. That was Lucifer's problem. He got up there, man, and all this light was coming off. He said, hey, look at this. Look at this. And they're saying, oh, wait a minute, bud. Look below you. That's where it's all light. He says, I know. Below me. And so he had a problem. Now, this is just incidental, but I want to show you something. And I may talk with you about this in this morning's service. Watch your mouth with God. You watch what you say. Didn't he say over there in Luke 19, I'll answer you after your own word, you know, fellas, oh, I knew you were an austere master and you sowed, we didn't reap, and or reap, we didn't sow. And he says, I'll answer you out of your own mouth. Look what Lucifer said, verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will, five letters. I will, that's a wrong thing for you ever to say. Don't you walk, shoot your mouth off about what you're going to do. I will. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also among the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You know, you don't sit on the throne as long as the king's alive. His plan was to murder God. And he said he would do it, and he said it five times. Five is number of death. Wrong thing to say. Five letters, five times. To show you what God can do as far as making you eat your words, look at Ezekiel chapter 28. And I always thought, you know, that's what I'm saying. See, God has so much power, he does things with finesse. When God comes out of a fight, it ain't one of these.
Oh, yeah.
I've got word about the fourth round. I mean, stop and think about this. Do you realize that all this stuff you know about, I'm the greatest. What, hey, Tyson, what round are you going to knock Buster Douglas out here. I'll know him on the first or the second, you know. What do you think would happen? How would you feel if you were going to fight the heavyweight champ? And they said, champ, when do you think you'd knock him out? He said, well, I don't know. But he said, to make it fair, I think for 40 days and 40 nights before the fight, yeah. I just won't eat anything.
Yeah.
That'll make me nice and weak, and that'll give him a chance. That's what Jesus Christ did. He said, for 40 days and 40 days before I fight you, I'll starve myself so that I'm good and weak. How do you think, would you be ready to fight anybody? You miss lunch and you got a headache. You miss supper, lunch and supper, you're ready to kill somebody. 40 days later, you're ready to die yourself. And Lord, that's how much, God has got so much confidence. And so God doesn't even say, oh boy, I sure hope I can stop Lucifer. He says, not only will I stop him, watch this. Ezekiel 28, verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will. Oh, we ever hear those words before? I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. Remember he said, I'll go up to the top of the mountain? He's, I'll throw you down, king of the hill. That's where it is, king of the hill. Last one standing. Also verse 16, and I will destroy thee. That's kind of pointed. O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth the fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. The devil said, I will, five times. God said, I'll give you an I will. If you check them out, you'll find out each one counted as the other. God says, you say I will five times, I'll say I will five times. Let's even say I will last.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do for the champ? Well, don't you give him three cheers? Well, he said, oh, three cheers for the champ. The three cheers are found in verse 22, 23, and 24. About the third line from the bottom of verse 22, here's the Lord. Now you see a man, he's walking around the ring right after the fight with his gloves in the air, and he says, I am the Lord. Verse 23, last four words, I am the Lord. Verse 24, last few words, I am the Lord God. Anybody want to get in the ring? I mean, Michael, sit down, brother. Michael got enough sense. Listen, if anybody should have got, thought he could take on God, it should have been Michael. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That Satan has to do with light. Verse 14, it should be no marvel, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So the devil is always going to be associated with light. Of course, light is electricity, and that's why the preoccupation with electric, with lasers, with fiber optics. Well, I don't have time to tell you about it. I was going to tell you about a cop that needed a laser one night. But... All right. These are names in heaven. Names in the earth. Now, the names of the earth, of course, remember one thing about the earth. We saw fire, it's always remember death. And there is one thing about earth that is outstanding. Everybody does. I talked to this one day, and you have to know this. And this guy, he was talking to one night, he said, seriously, he said, somebody eats bananas, Lord. He says, hey, brother. He says, you eat bananas, Lord? God, do. He said, every country where they eat bananas, Lord, you can die. I found every country where they breathe. Jesus Christ had to die. Right? So when you bring him to earth, you got to give him a name with which to die. So we see Jesus, and he's got five letters. You see this guy show up, Lucifer. By the way, did you notice all these got seven letters? Every name in heaven has seven letters.
or I say every day, we got four. There's only four examples. All four of them have seven letters, and I'm six of them. I'm figuring that every nation has got four letters. The one that comes when they come to Earth. When Lucifer shows up in Earth, what does he end up being? Five letters. Oh, you say, oh, my thing? Okay, let's make it to death. Five letters. You say, that's God. It ain't over yet.
Yeah.
We ain't the way. People live for that single this movie. Just because you're tied to the railroad tracks and things around the corner, you got nothing to worry about. All right? Take a look at what happens with names on the earth. You have Abram, Isaac. Now, there are going to be exceptions. Not everybody in the Bible has five letters, but Jacob, Judah, Moses, Aaron, Peter, James, Judas. You have Isaac. David, Sarah, whose name before she got the change was Sarai, five letters. You have Haran, you have Terah, you have Nahor, you have Laban, and they all hung around Egypt. And when they left there, they went to Horeb. And stop at what? Sinai. It is new testimony of the destiny of man. It is appointed one. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. People, you know what that tells you? Just by the fact that all those names have five, like I said, I mean, there's names in the Bible, John and Saul and Paul, things like that. That have more names, Samuel. But you'll find an overwhelming number of them will have five letters. You know what that tells you? That tells you from day one that your preoccupation should be death. You're going to die. So what does the world keep you doing? It keeps you getting prepared for life.
Yeah.
And all you do is you end up being too busy trying to live to think about dying.
Amen.
And people... it's been said, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die.
Yeah.
All right? So what God is trying to tell mankind is, look, man, look, you're going to die. Take it serious and do something about it. Then live. Okay? All right, now, names in the New Earth. I wonder if anybody can think of a name of New Earth. I can think of one, only one. Look in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 7. John Jeffries, how about you get Matthew chapter 1? All right, guys, I'd like to pass you to read Isaiah 7, verse 14.
Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Who's that talking about?
Jesus.
Look at chapter 8, verse 8. Read that for us.
He shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, and he shall reach you into the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of the land, the holy Emmanuel.
All right. Read Matthew chapter 1, verse 23.
The holy virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Who's that talking about? Yes, right. Who's that talking about? Did you ever notice that name they called him? Nobody ever called him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. But you know what the Bible says in John? He came unto his own, and what? His own received him not. He ain't with us. So when he came down here, because he was coming to die, Jehovah became Jesus. He came and he died, and now you got eight letters in the translation. And I believe that in the millennial reign, he is not going to be called Jesus. He's going to be called Emmanuel. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23 says they'll take the spirit of one of the Jews and say, let us go on the only way to Jerusalem, say, let us go to Jerusalem, for we've heard that God is Jesus. And so the thing you have to remember is that there's no place in Scripture other than, look at, you got Matthew? Read the last verse, now you heard what he read, his name, he shall call his name in name, right? Two verses down, verse 25, the last one in the chapter, read that.
Knew her not, for she had brought forth the firstborn son, and he called him Jesus.
You see that? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, they read the prophecy out of Isaiah, where it says his name will be Emmanuel. Two verses later it says, and Joseph knew his wife not, Joseph brought forth the firstborn son and called him Jesus. Come on,
Well,
most of the time they can borrow. No, that's the last chapter of the book. So, you have Jehovah, seven letters, God Almighty. He comes to the earth as Jesus, Jehovah saved, that's what Jesus means, and dies. And when he comes back in the new heaven and the new earth, he will go with the name of Emmanuel. Notice, like I said, eight letters. That's the only name we have as far as the new heaven and new earth. And what that tells me is I got a feeling that in heaven, or I should say in the new earth, our names are going to have eight letters. You know, it says we've got a new name written up in glory. Then I got this feeling that my name is Samuel. That's only six letters. So now you say, well, gee, how's he going to have enough names with eight letters? Wait a second. I heard this preacher, and I like him. I heard this preacher get up, and they said, tell him your kids' names. And he got up, and he said, you know, like Bazarsky and Mavarsky and Rutabaga. I mean, and they said, he says, now you've never heard those before. I made them up. I couldn't tell. But what I'm saying is, did you ever look at First Chronicles? I don't think we have to worry about God having a shortage of names, all right? I reckon he can come up with something. But what I want you to notice is that in heaven they have seven letters. In earth they have five because of death. And in the new heaven and the new earth, eight is the number of what? New beginning. It is not Jehovah. He's not Jesus. He is Emmanuel. That's when the prophecy comes. Really, the first part of Isaiah 7:14 has come true. The whole idea of a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and so on. The last half happened. He's not called Emmanuel. He was never in his earthly ministry called Emmanuel. Said, well then, must be a mistake. No, it's just not finished. But in the new earth, when he reigns in Jerusalem, he will be known as Emmanuel, or God with us. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you now, God, for your goodness and your grace, and I thank you, Father, for this book. I ask you now, Father, to bless these people, help them to read it, help them to not forget it is just a reflection of you and your perfection. Thank you for speaking to us through it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.